Turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. And we'll begin reading with verse 15. We are in the middle of Daniel having fasted for a pretty good period of time. At least no pleasant food for over 3 weeks, waiting for an understanding on a vision that he had had. And the angel came to give him an understanding. And watch, beginning in verse 15, what happens. Daniel chapter 10, verse 15. "And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me." Took his breath away. "Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I am come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia, and I am gone forth. Lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there's none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince." Notice in verse 19, we find that he retained no strength in verse 16, that he had no strength or even breath left in him in verse 17. But that a man came in verse 18 and strengthened me. And then he said, when the man said, "Peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong." He said, when he had spoken unto me, watch it, I was strengthened. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help us with this passage of Scripture today. No question, Father, that you have something for us in this passage that you want us to know. And I'm asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, fill us with your Holy Spirit so we can deliver that message. As a man, it's impossible. But as a man with the Spirit of God in him, and a man with the Lord Jesus Christ in him, all things are possible. And so we pray today, Father, that you will do that. Help these that are here, Lord. Many of them recently saved. Many of them saved for a long period of time. Perhaps some not even saved. We pray that your Holy Spirit will move with these words to stir our hearts to follow and be strengthened by you. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You know, in our lives, there are times when we really need to be strengthened. And there are times when you get up, you've had a good rest, you've had good food, you've had a good week, and you wake up and you're like, you know what, I'm feeling really good today and things are fine and you don't sense the need. But I'll tell you what, there are times when you haven't had a good week, or you've exhausted yourself, or other things have come up, circumstances have changed in your life, and you feel your spiritual energy has just really, really been depleted. And the Bible shows us in this passage of Scripture, there are times when, like Daniel, we need to be strengthened. Now, Daniel was not exhausted of his strength because of sin in his life. He was not exhausted of his strength because of something that had gone wrong in his life. As a matter of fact, he had been fasting for a period of time, really wrestling with the understanding of a vision that he had had. And Daniel was a gifted man. And he would have visions and he could understand the visions. As a matter of fact, the king had a dream in Daniel chapter 2 that nobody could interpret because the king couldn't even remember the dream. And yet God gave him the understanding of what that dream was and what it meant. And he was able to give the interpretation. So that's Daniel wasn't out of it because of some drain from the world. He was out of it because of that vision. But nevertheless, he needed to be strengthened. There was no strength in him. And when this man came and spoke to him, He was strengthened. There are times when we've lost our courage. There are times when we've lost our grit. There are times when we are ready to throw in the towel. And we honestly say, what have I yet to live for, Lord? In our lives, if you haven't gotten there as a Christian, you keep on living, you're going to find yourself one day saying, I know where I'm going when I die, so why should I keep on? This isn't getting better. And I'm just ready to go. And let me tell you something. When you get to a place like that, you know what the problem is? You need to be strengthened. And today we're going to keep our Bibles open and we're going to look in here and we're going to find from the Scripture some things that God has given us to strengthen us. And the first thing is found right here in this text. Daniel said, I was strengthened. What strengthened him? You know what strengthened him? Look at the verse again in verse 19 at the beginning of that sentence. He said, when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. The first thing that God has given us to strengthen us is his words. We are strengthened by his words. When the man spoke to Daniel, he was strengthened. And that's what happens to you, and that's what happens to me when we read this Bible. Now you come here today and you're sitting here and you say, you know, I've heard you talk about reading the Bible before. Well, listen, if you haven't been, your spiritual strength is depleted to the extent that you need the words of God and you have not been reading them. Listen, if you are an athlete and you're working, you need protein. If you're a working man doing hard things with your hands and with your body, you need nourishment in order to be able to be strong. Spiritually, as Christians, the thing God gives us right here, the pages of this book. And listen, I've talked to people before who were not strong in a particular matter, let's say wrestling with sin. And I said, well, you need to read your Bible. And then they'll talk a month later and they'll say, you know, I'm still really wrestling with that. And I'll say, well, did you start reading your Bible? Well, no. As if there was some other solution. You know, we have, listen, in this church, many of us right now have wayward children. And listen, we are pressed about that. And we pray for them. And they don't have strength to live the life that we're living now. And they're not going to have that strength until they get in that book. And we can pray for them to come to a place of repentance, and we can pray for God to bring them to a place of want, like the prodigal son. And I pray that he does those kinds of things, but I'm going to tell you, until they pick this Bible up and start reading what God has to say, they're not going to have the strength of righteousness. They're not going to have the strength of the Christian life. They need this book, and so do we. It's absolutely essential, that you read. Now listen. Very carefully. The psalmist said this. Somewhere. He said this. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. I've got other things to say today. Before I leave this point, listen. If you are here today and you didn't take time this week to read your Bible and ask God to speak to you out of that Bible and show you things out of that Bible, and you sense a spiritual drain in your life, the solution you have just heard. Leave here this afternoon, go to your house after lunch, get this Bible out, and open it and pray and say, God, I need to be strengthened by your words. Show me, and he will talk to you out of this book. No sense in you taking notes on the rest of this if this is the peace you need. Go read that Bible and commune with the Lord until you get strength. Stay with it until you get strength like Daniel did, where he knew I was strengthened. Some of us have that personality, I do, where I can get down. This is where I go. In that Bible, God speaks, and that strength returns. And I know it's not mine. It's supernatural. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go to another passage of Scripture. Let's go to Psalms. Psalms 18. And notice another thing that will strengthen you. We are strengthened by His words, like Daniel was when he spoke to me. Now, Psalm 18. Look at this. We are strengthened by His words. Listen, we are strengthened by His presence. We're strengthened by His presence. Look in Psalm 18, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Now, I've already shown this to you before, and I stressed them when I was reading today. He didn't say a fortress, a deliverer, a strength, a buckler, a horn. He said mine. Mine. We are strengthened by His words. Listen, we are strengthened by His presence. We're strengthened by the Lord's presence. Have you ever talked to anybody who has witnessed? Or have you ever witnessed and heard somebody say, I don't need that as a crutch? You ever heard that phrase? I don't need that as a crutch. You know what that is? That is the epitome of pride. That is the epitome of ignorance. Because that's a person who says in their itty bitty, frail, gonna die, stinky, fleshy body, I don't need my Creator to be strong. That's dumb. I don't need that. I don't need a crutch. As if I'm not crippled. Listen, one of these days you're going to have a face-off with the Creator. You and Him alone, face to face. And I'm going to tell you something right now. It ain't going to be pretty. And I want you to put your hands on your hips when you're standing there on thin air, because the heaven and the earth are going to fly away as a scroll, so you're just suspended in the universe on nothing like a star. I want you to put your big old hands on your hips, and I want you to look at Jesus Christ, and I want you to put your finger on His nose and say, I don't need you as a crutch. I guarantee you, when you see Him, that will be the last thing to come to your mind. You'll be crying out, He is Lord. And then you'll be saying to yourself, you big dummy, what were you thinking? You need His presence. Listen, the man that wrote this is David. David, listen, you got him. You can't do what he did. He was watching sheep and a lion attacked. He caught the lion by the mane with his bare hands and killed the lion. And he killed the bear and rescued the lamb. And then he killed big old Goliath with a rock between the eyes. You can't do those things. And he said, I need His strength. You're just talking from the wrong perspective, that's all. We're strengthened by His presence. You know what David said in Psalm 71? He said, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. He said, as strong as I am, as successful as I've been, I don't trust myself. I'll go in the strength of the Lord God. And you know the beauty today is that you and I, who are saved here today, have received the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know who lives in here? Jesus Christ lives in here. And I am strengthened by His presence. God lives here. The Spirit of God lives here. You know, I look back sometimes and I think about times in our lives. How we got through some things. Been there? Been there? And you know what? You could say, Jesus was with me all the way. Oh, I'm so glad I can say that. Listen, those disciples were in a ship. That boat was capsizing. They cried out to Him. He calmed the storm. Listen, you don't even know how many times God has intervened in our lives just because He's in us. But He has many, many times. And the thought of that gives you strength. One very similar. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4 and see another one. Very similar. I almost jumped one right over the other, but it's important that we make the distinction. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. How strong is God? All powerful. Do you realize what you have living inside of you? We were talking to Sunday school this morning. The Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ dwells in you. You know, there's not a power in this universe as strong as the power of resurrection, where the Spirit of God raised up Jesus Christ. And when you get saved, He lives inside of you. And when you have the fellowship of His sufferings, you also have the power of His resurrection. Man, that's something. But look at this. Look at this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. We're strengthened by His words. We're strengthened by His presence. We're strengthened by His power. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, what is it that you can do through the power of Christ that strengthens you? All things. All things. You know what? When you look back in your life, you're going to find and remember that there were crossroads that you could not have gotten through on your own. And you're going to say, how did I get through that? And you're going to realize Jesus Christ was right there navigating and strengthening that whole thing for you to get you through something that should have knocked you out. You know, I was giggling the other day when I mentioned to you that we're praying for the Barkowskis in Trinidad because they have two young children. They're not even 2 years old, the two of them. And now they're brand new missionaries down there in Trinidad and trying to help Brother Hoffmeister and Brother Bernsdorf as they've got that Charity Baptist Church and the Baptist Institute and music and everything else they're doing. And so he said in his prayer letter, you know, pray for us because we're really getting tired. And they're in their 20s. And I look back and I think, well, you know, when we went to Bible college, I was 35. Lizzie was born 2 months after we got there. We left when we were 38. Worked all day, went to school 4 nights a week, 4 hours a night. And somehow or another this is what I don't get. I mean, I understand how I did what I did. I don't understand how Ann did what she did. I said to you earlier, I'm a grandpa. I should have said, you know what? Ann's a grandma. I don't know how you did it, but I know this. There was a strength in her beyond her human capability. The presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and His power. His power. And got us through that. In your life, if you had the opportunity to stand here and say, let me tell you about something Jesus Christ did in my life. I got one better than that. Maureen Knuppel could stand up here and say, I was a widow with 9 kids for 9 years. And you thought you had it rough in Bible college? What are you talking about, pipsqueak? You don't know trouble. How'd she get through that? I'll tell you how she did it. By the power of God. By the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. See, what we have to realize, when we get down, when we lose our courage, when we lose our grit, when we're ready to throw in the towel, we got to realize something. That, listen, that is exactly where God wants you to get. So that He can step in and say, "Hoo-hoo, watch this." And you go, how did that happen? Well, if you're on top of the world and you got it all, you got all your grit, and you have all your Wheaties, you don't need, or you don't think you need, that power. But when you're out of gas, then. I love something I heard in a sermon one time, but this guy had a very successful ministry. And he had heard of another fellow that had really been strengthened and empowered by Jesus Christ in his ministry. And so when he had an opportunity to meet this preacher, he said, hey, Can you tell me how to get that kind of power in my ministry? And that preacher looked at him and he said, I can't. And he said, why not? He said, baby, you are driving a Mercedes-Benz and you are in the driver's seat. All you're trying to do is go from unleaded gasoline to octane, high octane. That's all you're wanting extra power for. You don't need all that. You already got it all going for you. He said, now listen, if you want what you heard God did in my life, you need to get out of the driver's seat and you need to move over to the passenger side. And they said, well, no, that wouldn't be far enough for you. you reach over there and steer. He said, you need to get in the back seat. He said, no, that wouldn't be far enough for you because you'd be back there telling him what to do. He said, you need to get in the trunk, dude. That's what you need. And you know something? If you've come to the end of your rope and you're out of gas, you know what you need to do? Just get in the trunk and let Jesus Christ do things in you you cannot do. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. Not I can do all things through Christ plus me. He doesn't need us. He needs to have full reign. We're strengthened by His words, by His presence, by His power. Look in Proverbs chapter 24. I love this. Proverbs chapter 24. I love it all, but I love this. This verse, when it finally jumped off the page at me, I was like, wow, that's cool. Do you see what you're looking up in Proverbs chapter 24? Look at verse 5. A wise man is, what's the next word? A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increaseth, what's the next word? Strength. You see that? You know what you're looking at up here right now? 160 pounds. And there's no six pack. It's just, I mean, you know, I was the classic 90 pound weakling. And that always bothered me. Okay, so I look around here, I see it didn't bother some of y'all. you passed 90 at about 5 years old. And it took me forever to get there. Men are that way. That bothers you. You know, you want, everybody's all about that athletic competition and pumping iron and all that kind of stuff, you know. Parking lots are full all over town outside of gyms. May I tell you something? Look at this. A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. You know what? We are strengthened not by our might. We're strengthened by His wisdom. We're strengthened by His wisdom. In other words, the Bible says that wisdom is better than strength. That's what Paul, what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 19. When I read that, I was like, oh, wow, if I can get some wisdom, I can get strong. Well, it's not any easier to get that than it is to pump iron and get muscle. I'll tell you, it takes some digging to get some wisdom, but it comes from God. And when you get it, it's better than being strong. Let me give you an example. Wasn't it Abimelech that was getting ready to take down a city? It was Joab getting ready to take down a city because Sheba ran into it or something like that? Help me. Give me a nod if I'm on the right page. Anyway, he's getting ready to destroy this city. And the Bible says a wise woman came up to the wall and said, Joab, are you getting ready to destroy an entire city? He said, well, there's a guy in there named Sheba, the son of Bichri. He's the guy who won. I said, we'll take care of it. We'll throw his head down over the wall for you. And sent a couple of eunuchs after him, cut his head off, threw it over the wall. Joab says, I'm satisfied, and left. She saved the city. When you got a guy like Joab getting ready to take down your city is going to fall. Do you understand? That's the kind of man Joab is. He doesn't lose those battles. And it didn't take a gun. It didn't take weapons of warfare. It didn't. There wasn't a gun back there. It didn't take engines. It didn't take strong men. It didn't take a big army. It didn't take a siege protection. It didn't take any of that. It took one woman with a little bit of wisdom, found out what the problem is, sent a couple of eunuchs, cut his head off, threw it over the wall. End of story. Wisdom is better than strength. If it had been some guy in there like king, hey, Joab's over here. We can't let Joab win this. Get all the forces, and they wouldn't have a city today. Wisdom strengthens a man. If you find yourself in a situation where you have just lost your strength and you're over here despondent and you're like, I don't know how we can go on. I don't know how I'm going to be able to take my family another step further. What you need is you need to get with God and get some wisdom and say, what do I do now? And when He shows you, you just come away from that and go, I can handle this. This is good. The other day, I don't like to tell a lot of personal stories, but you're going to have to hear this one. You know, we're a little bit overwhelmed right now. Some of you know that. We just moved. Not really. We move some things. And there's a lot of things yet to move. And there's a trip to Alabama. And then there's a baby that just got born. And there's a trip to Uganda. And 15 inches of rain. And you get overwhelmed with that stuff. And so I was out doing my walk and pray the other morning. And I was just like, how are we going to sort all this out? And I was feeling that. Don't you feel that sometimes? Feeling that, I'm praying. I was halfway through that walk. I was just getting ready to make the turn at Oakmont and Cherry Hills. I'm just turning that thing right there. And I mean, just right out of heaven. Boom! It came to me. Minimal and functional. And I finished up praying for the missionaries and other things. And Lizzie and Ori and a bunch of y'all. I got in there to my house and I walked up to Ann and I said, minimal and functional. That's what we need. She said, you've always been looking for an excuse to leave most of this junk here. I said, well, you're right. But I'm not talking about the long term. I'm talking about all we got to do is get enough stuff to the next place where you can live while I'm gone. We'll sort out the rest of it when I get back. Minimal and functional. You know what that is? That's wisdom. That brightened my spirit. It lifted a load. And I was like, ah, we can do this. Strength and wisdom. Okay, we're strengthened by His words, His presence, His power, His wisdom. That's good, but let's skip that one. You guys look like you're hungry. Go to Nehemiah. Or is it me? I used to tell Ann sometimes, Nehemiah chapter 8. I used to tell Ann sometimes we'd get home, I said, you know, everybody looks so tired today. She said, I didn't think so. And I realized I was looking at you through tired eyes. It was me, not you. So maybe I'm the one getting hungry. Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10. Very, very famous passage of Scripture. They're building a wall. Everything's against them. They've got rubbish to dig through. They've got enemies that are trying to stop them. They're trying to be ambushed. They got people that are, you know, inside that are deteriorating the strength and confidence of the people. And in Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10. Nehemiah says, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat. By the way, if you eat steaks and your wife says, cut that fat off there, you're not supposed to eat that. Say, well, he said, eat the fat. And I'm going to eat it because it tastes good. Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord, our Lord. Neither be ye sorry. Watch it. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Where do we get strength? We get it from the Bible. We get it from the presence of God in us, from the power of Jesus Christ, from His wisdom. But we get strength from His joy. You see, what happens when you lose strength is you're out of gas, you're down, your mind starts to despair. And you become despondent and depressed. That's how we do it. And we're like, whoa, I don't think I can finish. Any of you that ran an endurance race or were involved in athletics or got involved in manual work where you had a deadline and something to finish or a finish line, you know what it's like to be halfway through or three quarters of the way through and just feel like, I got to quit. I can't go on. This is wearing me out. And they talk about a second wind in athletics, and there's a physiological reason for that. May I tell you, the joy of the Lord is your second wind. The joy of the Lord is your strength. What happens to you is you just sit down for a moment. You know you're overwhelmed by all that stuff that has depleted your spiritual strength. And you think on, I'm saved. I'm washed in the blood. I'm going to heaven. Jesus Christ is here. And you know what? Sing a hymn. And the next thing you know, your spirit starts to revive. And you're like, whoo, wow. And you think, what is that? It's just the joy. Listen, you can give in to despair. You can give in to depression. You can give in to despondency. But then you can also give in to joy. You can say, listen, I don't have to be down about this. I know Jesus Christ is on my side. I know our church is on my side. I know that things are good with God. And get that joy in there and let those hymns start circulating through your mind. And the next thing you know, a smile comes up on your face. Spiritual energy comes into your soul. And there's a lifting. I mean, if the world has a thing that says, whistle while you work. Well, whistle while you work. Da, 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 da. However the rest of that thing goes. Some of you, you know, whistling, yeah, thank you. You know what they say that for? to brighten you up. Well, we got something better than that. We got hymns. We got the joy of the Lord. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Get that joy in there. It's there already. You know what it is? You just haven't tapped into it. All right, so let's say you bought a piece of property and you put a house on it and you're like, now we need water. And you drill. And you get into the aquifer and you hit water. Now you got water. Guess what? If you hadn't drilled, you never would have gotten it. So you tap into it. And you tap into the joy that's there. And that joy comes in you and strengthens you. Amen. Now let me give you another one. Never supposed to say this, but I'm going to say it now. This is the last one. 1 Samuel chapter 23. 1 Samuel chapter 23. This is good. They're all good. This is good. Daniel said, I was strengthened. How? By his words, by his presence, by his power, by his wisdom, by his joy. And how else? 1 Samuel chapter 23, look at verse 16. Now, Saul has tried yet again to kill David. David had gone to Keilah to rescue a city in Israel from the Philistines. Once he was inside of the walled city, Saul heard about it and said, I can attack now with 3,000 people, surround him and kill him. And when David inquired of the Lord and found out that Saul was coming and that the men of Keilah would turn and deliver him to Saul, he and his men left to go yet again to another place. Verse 15, 1 Samuel 23, 15. David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. You got to know that running as a fugitive for a long period of time will wear you out. Verse 16. Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood, watch it, and strengthened his hand in God. You know what strengthens us? His helpers. His helpers. Who, you say, who is that? It's us. It is we. Jonathan strengthened David's hand in God. Folks, you got to know something from me to you. We have a lot on our plate right now. It seems like it always goes that way. And you know why I'm up here today preaching with a sense of a strength and energy to be able to talk with you enthusiastically about these things? Because of these things that we've just talked about, but also for this reason. Because of you. Because of you. You have strengthened our hand in God. Some of you have helped pack. Some of you have helped move. Some of you have loaned things to us. Have been ready and responsive at a moment's notice. Come and built a fence. Ready to do more. Cooked a meal. Prayed for us. Given us words of encouragement. We're there in the hospital yesterday. We see all that's going on and what happened there with the delivery. And it was so nice to be able to send a text to some of you and say, thank you so much for your prayers. Because they really were helpful. Really helpful. We don't understand, folks, but we need to understand how much we can do for each other. But I want you to know from my heart to yours, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because you have strengthened our hand in God. I mean it. Listen, there are churches all over this country with spiritual forces at work within the congregations to divide the work of God. Divisiveness has slipped in. To my knowledge, since we've been here, we just had our 15th anniversary, anytime anything like that ever tried to raise its head, and it does, the force is here as far as the devil's desire is concerned, God has always successfully moved that off to leave these sheep in great protection. But you know, one of the reasons I really believe that so is that you really do demonstrate your love for your pastor. And I appreciate that. I love you and want to strengthen your hand, but there's one of me for 200 of you and 200 of you for one of me. So figure those deals. When you help us, it really, really is a help. There are so many people that have come and said, what can we do? How can we help? We're praying. I want to let you know something. Your offers and your assistance have strengthened our hands in God. And I appreciate that. Emma's coming into a good family. This is going to be a nice place for her to grow up. I told Jet this morning, he didn't understand me. But he had to hear me anyway. He and I have kind of a special thing going on, you know, running up and down the hall. But I told Jet, I said, hey, we got your new playmate. She won't be much to play with when you first meet her, but you guys will be making the way up and down the hall here with all these other kids that are running around. That's a big deal. You teach Sunday school. Do you understand with what's going on in this church from the very beginning until now? We have always, from the day this started, our hands have been strengthened in the Lord by God's helpers. Some of you were with us the very first day we got together and prayed in the bunkhouse. Some of you came along shortly thereafter from the radio or contacts or other things and been here the whole way. And you lead singing and you teach Sunday school and you clean the building and you mow grass and you pull landscaping and you train kids and you do Bible clubs and you tirelessly help. You make baked goods. You forgot the fruit bowl. I had nothing to buy. Isn't that funny? Ann took care of it. Don't worry. I appreciate that. Because it's not just a matter of us doing something. Every day we have to preach on the radio. I fortunately have a backlog that I've been able to use in Ephesians right now. Some of you may not have known that. You probably thought, how's he doing that? I did that 4 years ago. But we got a telephone call from a fellow that just listened to one of the messages, wanted us to pray and get some counsel, lives in a completely different state. We got the internet to do and radio to do and visits to make and people to see and people to lead to the Lord. And you know something? We cannot do that without you. You strengthen our hands in the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your provision. And thank you, church, for your encouragement. I appreciate it very much. Father, thank you today for the opportunity to preach the words of God. I love you. And I thank you so very, very much for all that you've done. I pray today these things that we've said have encouraged our folks that are here. We need to be encouraged and strengthened, Father. And it's just one of these things spoke to the heart of every individual here. Perhaps it's wisdom. Perhaps it's just remembering that you're in us. You're not up there in heaven, though we say, Heavenly Father, you're right here in us. Or that we have Jesus' power at our supply. Or we've neglected the Bible. Or we've just not been in the joy of the Lord. Wherever you apply these things today, Lord, please minister to the hearts. Minister to us as a church. And may we each be encouraged by the strength that we give to the other in the things that you've given us. Now, while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I just want to ask you this one question. You know, if you're here today without Jesus Christ, you don't have the presence of God in you. And the reason you don't sense the strength I'm talking about is He's not there. It may very well be that you don't know the strength of the abiding presence and power of Jesus Christ because He's just not in you. He's out there somewhere. Listen, He needs to be in you, and the way He gets in you is you receive Him. I didn't preach the gospel today, but you came here as a visitor, and I'm going to tell you, you can hear the gospel in just 5 minutes after this service is over if you would like to have Jesus Christ in you to give you power and strength and wisdom by His presence and make you part of a family of people who really strengthen each other. If you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, but you want Him, let me ask you this question. Would you be willing to hear how to receive Him today? right after this service? If you would, just slip your hand up real quick like this and put it right down. Just put it right up in the air and say, Preacher, yes, me. Please stick around. I want to hear that gospel. I want to know Jesus Christ. Anybody like that? Just raise your hand. Okay, Father, thank you today for the opportunity to preach. I pray our folks are very encouraged by these things. I know you've surely encouraged me. I ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.